because presumably we wanted to speak about chanting Hare Krishna. So here is one verse. This is right in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the reason it's in the beginning is because it's also defining what the purpose, one of the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam is. Later on, a few chapters afterwards, then Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan is further established in this very famous verse. Ete Changsa Klav Nisa Krishna But in the process of scriptural analysis, how one analyzes Shastra, and that is actually our business to study scriptures very closely. We read newspapers, watch news, listen to many people's opinions and advice on things. But the most important thing is Krishna's words. You know, many people in India, even now, particularly those who are learning Sanskrit, they all know Bhagavad Gita. They may believe in Krishna or not, but they all know Bhagavad Gita. There's only 700 verses, it's not much. But Gita shouldn't just be memorized, it should also be known. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, you should know Bhagavad Gita like you know the back palm of your hand. It's an expression. I don't know where the expression came from, because I don't know the palm of my hand, and I don't know who does.
But better.
Huh?
But better.
Yeah, well, maybe a palmist knows people's palms, but... And he also said that we should know the Bhagavad Gita just like some Christian preachers know the Bible, you know it inside out. There's a phrase, it's called Bible-toting Christians. So, yeah, they're correct. They should know the scripture. One should know one's own scripture. And at least Bhagavad Gita. So to study it scrutinizingly, Srimad Bhagavatam also. Sadhya Indiya Varudhati Yatra Shushushubish Takshana Shishito Shadadanas Cha Basudeva Kataruchi. Throughout Bhagavatam, the importance of hearing is there. You hear this word hearing. For us, hearing, studying, these are sort of synonymous terms. We study things nowadays because we forget very quickly, whereas in a previous culture, people would be able to hear something and they understood it, just like Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita once and Nasto Moha, and all his illusion was gone. It doesn't work like that for us so easily, isn't it? Our illusion is just gone just by hearing Bhagavad Gita once. We need to hear it many times. So one should study Shastra, and in studying, there is one symptom or one way of analyzing what is the subject of scripture, what is the message it is trying to get across, by seeing what it discusses in the beginning and at the end. I think it is Jaimini Rishi who gives this six different types of methods of analysis, six symptoms. One thing is, what does Shastra begin with, what does it end with, what is something that is being constantly repeated, just like what does Krishna repeat in the Bhagavad Gita. One thing he definitely repeats is man manabhava man bhakto. That's the only verse he repeats. But in terms of subject matter, something that's also being repeated. So here, if you look at the 14th verse of the first chapter, which is the beginning, then here the sages say, Apana samsatikvoram jannama vivashogrinam tatosudo vimukcheta yadbideti swayambayam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is fear by fear personified. It doesn't seem to me like you have a whole set over there, but if you look at the last verse of the 12th canto, which is the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, then there it is stated, someone knows, we've got any scholars here? I'll remember in a couple of minutes. Anyway, the subject matter is the same, is that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, then one becomes free from all sinful reaction and one attains all perfection. Now sankirtanam yasya sarva tapa kanashana. So namas sankirtanam yasya, here it is stated apanam samsitim guram. Here it is particularly the chanting. Here it is said that nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa. Whatever path, whatever sinful activity you've performed by nama sankirtan, by the chanting, congregational chanting of the holy name. And I'll just read it here. This is the last verse. So you know, even just from book, when you're reading a regular book, if you send what you do, usually you start with the end. What happened? And because the end is something that's very, very important, that really is just sealing the final message, that's getting the right thing across. And what to speak of transcendental authors such as Srila Vyasadeva, personalities. Yes, well, I mentioned yesterday, I'll mention him again today. One mundane author, his name was Ernest Hemingway. He wrote one book which was called For Whom the Bell Tolls, and I also mentioned that yesterday. But the end of the book, the last paragraph, he rewrote it 49 times. And because his reasoning was, he said, I had to get it just right. So because it's the closing, it's the essence, it's the final thing that's being stated, it's what, you know, the end is when you're saying goodbye. You know, how do you say goodbye to someone? That's what's leaving the lasting impression. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reaction, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. Nāna saṅkīrtanam yasya sarvatāpa pranāśanam nāmo dukkha samanas tam nanāmi harimparam. It's simple. Which means, what is Srimad Bhagavatam concluding with? Chant Hare Krishna, chant the holy name of the Lord. Nāna saṅkīrtanam yasya. And it's also repeating what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. Madhyājumam namaskuru. Do namaskar. Here, pranamo. Pranam means namaskar. Same thing. So, if we study Srimad Bhagavatam, then we see, yes, Srimad Bhagavatam ends, it begins and ends with chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, it is subscribing to us that this really, is not echoing over here.
Has anybody got a problem with? Can you all hear okay?
Yeah.
Is it echoing?
No. Okay. An echo down.
It's just the speaker's a bit close
to us.
The echo
down.
There is an echo.
What
Yes, so then it's prescribing the chanting of the holy names of the Lord as the means to become aham tam sarva pāpebhyo, to become free from all sinful reaction. But when one becomes free from all sinful reaction, then the gate to spiritual life becomes really open. So right in the beginning, right at the end, nam sankirtan. So it's so important. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is about. And what is nam sankirtan meant to achieve? Then Bhagavatam describes entering into Krishna's pastimes in the mood that Krishna's associates were absorbed in during Krishna's appearance here 5,000 years ago in the world. This is achieved. It's only available for people who are sinless. If one is sinful, you can't approach Krishna. So you have to be anahata. Just like agasura. Agasura means that he was sin personified. So if someone is sinful, he can't approach Krishna. You have to become sinless. One has to be devoid not only of sinful activity, but the reaction to past sin. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then says, Chaita Dharpana Marjana. The only way you become free from sin and from the reactions of sin which are present within the heart is through Nam Sankirtanam. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Here, Nam Sankirtanam Yasya. So much emphasis is there in scripture. So much emphasis has been then put on that instruction of Shastra by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he chanted Hare Krishna. He didn't build any temples. He didn't perform any yajnas. He didn't do any homa, vastu, astrology, this, that. There was no record of it. And all he did was chant Hare Krishna. Because it's all you need to do. And having that conviction that if I simply chant Hare Krishna, then all my needs, spiritual and material, will be taken care of. That is called faith, pure faith. People may have other types of faith, just like you see people have faith by which they blow themselves up and other people, it may be faith, it may be strong, but it's not pure. It's misplaced, misdirected faith. You can have faith in the wrong thing. It's a question, and there's a question also of the quality of faith that one has, and what the philosophical basis, what the knowledge is upon which that faith is built. So for us, as members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we have this, for us, faith in Krishna really manifests in terms of faith in chanting the holy names of the Lord. That simply if I chant Hare Krishna, then yoga kshema vahami aham. Everything that I need, that will come. And what doesn't come, you don't need it. There used to be some also famous musicians whose name I won't mention, but they had the song, you can't always get what you want.
It's still going.
But they haven't gotten what they want either. But you get what you need. And that's true. So this is our means of approach by which we approach Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna. We don't ask for anything what we want. He knows everything anyway. Ishvara sarvabhutanam udeshe arjuna tishtati. Krishna is sitting in everyone's heart. So he knows everything. It's like the Children have to remind their mothers to cook supper. Hey, don't forget to cook. If you do it too often, you'll get one in the back of the neck. It's like the dharma of mothers to cook. They don't have to be reminded by children, don't forget to cook. So Krishna's dharma is to know everything. He doesn't have to be reminded. Don't forget about my children and about my... Krishna knows everything. And you get what you need. They won't get any more anyway, whether you ask or not. Because that's how he functions. He'll just give what we need. And in terms of religious process, we don't really need to do anything else other than this. Our temples, our deity worship, these are all really meant to continue inspiring us and facilitating us to chant Hare Krishna as the primary activity. It's the main focus. It's the most important thing. Other things are important in that they assist this one thing to take place. Our Acharya Jiva Goswami, he explained in his Sandarbha, Bhakti Sandarbha, that which I just forgot now, that all of the other activities of devotional service, Shravanam, Smaranam, Vishnu Padanam, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, they in Kali Yuga, they must all be connected with chanting Hare Krishna. And they're meant to facilitate the chanting, even when we do bhakti, even when we worship deity. The worship of the deity is separate from chanting the holy name of the deity. It's empty. It will have very little or practically no result. But rather, the form of the Lord is present there to encourage devotees in Artik to chant Hare Krishna, to be inspired to repeat the Maha Mantra, and in that way to gradually become sinless. And first one becomes free from sin, and then as one becomes when one becomes free from sin, then Shraddharati Bhakti Anukramishasi. Then the real path of devotional service sort of opens up, and we really have access. It's like education. Unless you can add, unless you can subtract, unless you can read and write, and you can't even study. So these are basic tools that you have to learn. When you know these, then you can get somewhere in education. Without them, nowhere. So same thing. As long as the results of many, many past lifetimes of pious activities and sinful activities, not just sin. Sin isn't our only problem. Piety is also a problem. In other words, doing good things is a problem. Because by doing good things, you get good results. And if you become attached to good results, that's even more entangling than having to suffer due to committing sinful activity. Because it's more difficult to give up. Anyone can give up suffering. But enjoyment is a little more difficult to give up. So it's for that reason that it's more difficult, for instance, for the demigods to be Krishna conscious, because their level of enjoyment is so high, and their relative level of suffering is less than ours. So they have more difficulty. In any case, whether it's pap or punya, we need to become freed from all of these things. And that's only possible through this very extraordinary method of purification of heart, which is very difficult. You know, the whole idea of heart transplants or heart surgery is relatively new. It's just taken place in the last 30 years. 40 years at the most. And that's, but they don't clean the heart. So even they give you a new heart, and you know, that started off in South Africa, huh?
It's still a dirty heart for somebody else.
No, you keep it, because the heart is just an organ. But yes, the consciousness still remains the same, because it's a soul that is covered, and the soul is covered by its own past deeds. So you can change the heart, but the person, the consciousness, still remains the same. It's not, the organ itself is not dirty. It's the consciousness. When we talk about heart, we're actually talking about something a little more subtle than that. But yes, it hasn't changed. It remains the same. So this is really elaborate medical science, heart surgery, but how to actually purify the consciousness. Because I don't know what consciousness is. That's a major problem in scientific circles, just exactly establishing what is consciousness and where does it really come from. That it exists, generally people accept, but what it is, then you have to turn to Bhagavad Gita for something like that, because it's not something that you can just sort of figure out by material logic. So to purify the consciousness, which is such a subtle thing, requires something that's extremely subtle. And the most subtle thing is Krishna's holy name. And therefore, in contact with that very pure holy name of the Lord, that then becomes an instrument which purifies our heart gradually. And this is something that happens overnight. I think everyone appreciates that, has experience of that. You don't just, we could, but it doesn't quite work like that. One of the reasons is because when we chant Hare Krishna, that sound vibration, Hare Krishna that we say, that in itself is covered by our contaminated consciousness. So it's like cleaning a dirty floor with a dirty mop. It's a slow process. Because when we say Hare Krishna, that's not Krishna's holy name. That's Krishna's holy name covered by the clouds of our consciousness. As cloudy as our consciousness is, that's how cloudy the holy name is. So it becomes a reflection, or even better, a shadow of Krishna's name. So, you know the difference between a shadow of a person and a person. There's no detail in a shadow. You can recognize one shadow from another. So, in other words, it's not very well defined. It's very unclear. It's just shadow. That's all it is. So, same thing. And therefore, when we chant this shadow Hare Krishna, it becomes not a fully effective instrument for the purification of the heart. It takes place slowly. And that's why it takes this time. So, you're cleaning with a dirty mop, and therefore it takes time to really clean up. For that reason, there are 10 offenses that one should avoid while chanting Hare Krishna.